ورحمة الله وبركاته. نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if we ponder over the lifestyles that we find ourselves guilty of living, if we see how busy, how engrossed we become in this dunya around us. If we contemplate the number of hours that we spend for this dunya versus the number of hours we spend for the akhirah, if we realize that for many of us the priority are the material possessions of this world, of money and house and lifestyle and privileges and cars and material possessions, no doubt the iman within us, our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes us feel guilty for what we are doing. And this is a sign of iman. It is a sign of iman to feel guilty. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, feeling guilty is the essence of repentance. But it is not sufficient merely to feel guilty. No, we must go beyond this. We must be careful of allowing the busy lifestyles that we live, that we're caught up in the current of civilization, that all we seem to be doing is to keep up with our material possessions, our money, our finances, our wealth. We have to go beyond this and remember of the hereafter. And be careful of not falling into the trap that Allah warns us against falling into. When He says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُهُ بِلِيْهِ اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah and have the taqwa of Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, and let every person think about what he has prepared for tomorrow. The verse tells us, prepare for tomorrow. And we seem to do this verse very well when it comes to the tomorrow of this life. When we go to sleep tomorrow, every one of us knows what we're going to do. When we go to sleep tomorrow, we think, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to work. I'm going to take care of that errand, do this chore, do the groceries. I need to do this at work. Our tomorrows have been decided today. But that's not what Allah is talking about when He says, let every soul take care of tomorrow. Allah is talking about the permanent tomorrow, the real tomorrow, the tomorrow that will come in our resurrection and our death. And Allah says, don't be like those, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah. They were so worried about the tomorrow of this life, they forgot about the tomorrow of the hereafter. And Allah says, they were really those who forgot about Allah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. They forgot about Allah. What happens when you forget about Allah? What is the result? What is the consequence? What is the punishment for forgetting about Allah, for neglecting Allah? Allah says, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. It's a powerful verse, beautiful reminder. When you forget Allah, Allah causes you to forget yourself. Let that sink in. Understand what Allah is telling you. When you forget Allah, you forget yourself. When you neglect Allah, you neglect yourself. When you ignore Allah, you ignore yourself. But how is that possible, you ask? How is it possible, you ask, that I forget about myself when the reason that caused me to forget about Allah was myself? In other words, when you ask the average Muslim, Akhi, why don't you pray? Why aren't you being a good Muslim? The number one excuse, he says, I'm too busy, I want more money, I want to work. If I pray, I won't have the luxury of working. If I show myself a practicing Muslim, I'm scared of losing my job. In other words, the number one excuse for not worshipping Allah properly is myself. And yet Allah says, when you don't worship Allah, you forget yourself. How is that possible? Is it not paradoxical, you ask? No, it's not. Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to when He says forgetting about yourself is a much more deeper meaning of yourself than what comes to mind when we think of ourselves. Ourselves, me and you, we're composed of two components, the body and the soul. For most of us, our existence is limited to the existence of the body. All I want to do is take care of this body. I want to feed it. I want to clothe it. I want to satisfy its sensual and animal desires. But we neglect that there is a far more real existence, a far more ultimate existence, a far more permanent existence. And that is the existence of the soul. That is the life of the soul.
And that is what Allah refers to when He says, when you forget about Allah, you forget about your spiritual soul. You forget about your real life. Not the life of this world. The life of this world is the same as the life of animals. Animals live in this world, but they will have no hereafter. They will not have Jannah or be punished in the hereafter. Why? Because they are only worried about the life of the body. Allah blessed us with intellect and soul. Allah blessed us with a life above and different than the life of animals. And what Allah says in this verse, when you act like an animal, when all you're worried about is to take care of the body, the net result is that you will kill your own soul. You will suffocate your own soul. Your spirit, your iman, your inner life will be destroyed. Why? Because you didn't care about it. You didn't feed it. You neglected it. Well then, how do I not neglect the soul? How do I take care of the soul? We are all experts, brothers and sisters, experts in taking care of the body. Experts. We don't need any advice. We know what to eat. We know what to drink. Every passion, every desire, we know how to satisfy it. We don't need to go to school to learn how to take care of the body. Life teaches us that. But the question arises, how do I take care of the soul? What do I nourish the soul with? The body is nourished with food. What is the soul nourished with? The body is quenched with physical water. How about the soul? What do we need to do to feed the soul? To let the soul grow. The soul has many foods. But the primary food, the ultimate food, is the worship of Allah. The worship of Allah is what feeds the soul. The remembrance of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, reading the Quran, praying, fasting. When we do these things, we ignite the soul, we give it a passion, we give it real life, so that the soul expands, the soul grows, and in the process it overshadows the body. Hence, when the physical body is in pain, when the physical body is suffering, when a calamity happens to the body, the one who has no soul, the one who lacks iman, his life becomes his physical reality. His life becomes the life of this world. The success of this world is his success, and the failure of this world is his failure. If a thorn pricks him, he cries. If he loses his job, he wails. If a loved one dies, he doesn't know if there's any point in living on. Why? Because he has no other existence other than the existence of the body. Not so the mu'min. Not so the believer. The believer has an existence that is more than the existence of the physical body. When a pain afflicts the body, but iman exists in the soul, the suffering of the body is neglected. When a pain afflicts any part of your physical existence, you lose a job, you lose a loved one, you're afflicted with a sickness, but you have iman in Allah. You have real and true spiritual life. The spiritual life that you have is so powerful, it is so real, that the existence of this world becomes secondary to you. You don't care anymore. Whatever happens, alhamdulillah, I have Allah, I have the love of Allah, I have a relationship with Allah. I don't care about this world. Whatever comes, comes. Whatever doesn't, doesn't. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is exactly from the heart of the mu'min. Whatever Allah gives me, I'm happy. Whatever He takes away, I'm happy. As long as I have Allah, that's all I need. That's the life of the soul. That's the life of iman. And that only comes about, that only comes about when we take this soul and we nurture it and we feed it and we give it what it requires. As Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, O you who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, respond, hearken, obey, come to the call of Allah and His Messenger. Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasool. Allah is calling you, the Prophet is calling you. Respond to that, come to that. What will happen when you come to that? لِمَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. When He calls you, when Allah calls you, when the Prophet calls you, to that which will give you hayat, يُحْيِيكُمْ, life. Understand this verse, let it sink in. When Allah calls you, He calls you to something that will give you your life back. When the Prophet ﷺ calls you, respond, you will get life by responding to him. That's what the verse says. Exactly the verse says. When they call you and you respond, you will get your life, your hayat. But hold on a sec. Hold on a sec. Is this verse revealed for the people in the graves that they're not alive? Is Allah talking to the people of the graves that respond to Allah, you will get your life back? Respond to the Prophet, you will become alive again? Or is it referring to me and you? Is the verse talking to the living or is it talking to the dead? There is no doubt. There is no doubt that the verse is referring to me and you. The verse beckons us. It hearkens to us. It calls to us. And yet Allah says, come to me, I'll give you life. Once again, the question arises, don't we have life? Are we not alive? Why is Allah asking us to come to something and give us something that we apparently already have? We're already alive. Once again, brothers and sisters, there is a big difference between the life of the body and the life of the soul. And although many of us have the life of the body, although many of us are blessed with the life of the body, and to be honest, some amongst us are even deprived of that when we live lives that are absolutely disconnected from Allah. Because with regards to those people, Allah says even that is deprived. Allah calls them dead in the Quran. And Allah says these people are like animals. Inhum illa kal an'am. They're like cattle. Rather, they're worse than animals when they don't think of the hereafter. But many of us, alhamdulillah, we have some essence of iman. So we have the physical body and a little bit of the soul. But Allah says, you want the real life? You want the ultimate life? You want to really feel alive? Respond to Allah. Come to me, I will give you your real life. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says throughout the Quran. The theme of life and death is applied to the living before it's applied to the dead. The theme of life and death, the motives, the metaphors of life and death, Allah refers to people who are alive as if they are dead because they're spiritually dead. Allah calls them dead. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا. Give the example of the one who was dead. Allah says, give the parable, the story of the one who was dead, and we brought him back to life. The reference here is not to somebody who was buried in the grave, and Allah said, kun, and he was resurrected. No, the reference in this verse is to one who was not worshipping Allah. He had neglected Allah. He had turned away from Allah. And then Allah blessed him with iman. Allah blessed him with Islam. Allah blessed him with taqwa. And in that blessing and through that blessing, Allah gave him life. Allah resurrected him from the dead, even though he was amongst the living. Once again, the reference is to the life of the body versus the life of the soul. The life of the body, we all have it. The life of the soul, many of us don't have it. And Islam, Quran, dhikr, salah, fasting, relationship with Allah, this is what gives you the life of the soul. And once we get this life, that life is so sweet, it is so beautiful, real life that we know it becomes secondary, becomes meaningless. Our ultimate existence is transformed into worshipping Allah and attaining His pleasure. That's what we want to do. We're not worried about this world anymore. What we get, alhamdulillah, what we don't get, alhamdulillah, we're going to get better in the hereafter. That's the real mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this reality in yet another verse in the Quran when He says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ يَصْلَوْنَهَا يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. Verily, those who are righteous, pious, good people, Allah says, they will enjoy every blessing. لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. They will always enjoy every blessing. Every blessing that they want, they will get it. As for the evil people, they shall be punished in the hereafter by going to hell. Hold on a second now. Think about this. When it comes to blessings, Allah did not put a time limit. Allah didn't say the righteous shall enjoy Jannah and the evil shall be punished in hell. He didn't put a condition like that. Rather, He said the righteous shall enjoy, full stop. They shall be blessed, full stop. They shall be given every ni'mah, every blessing, period. Meaning in this world and the hereafter. And the evil people, they shall be punished in the hereafter. Meaning, even if you don't believe in Allah, even if you reject Allah, you might enjoy this life a little bit. You might have some quote-unquote blessings of this world. Yeah, you can have the fancy car and the nice, you know, mansion and the beautiful women that you have. All of this, you might get it. And there is no doubt that is a type of enjoyment of this world. There is no doubt. But that enjoyment is limited. It is not eternal. It will be taken away and substituted with something that is eternal. Unlike the believer shall enjoy all blessings. The question arises, if I have just said the believer enjoys all blessings, does this mean that the one who really and truly believes in Allah will become a multimillionaire, and he will have the largest house and the most luxurious mansion and have the best cars to drive and this and that, and he will be blessed with a way that no other person is blessed? This is not the reality. The reality is that generally speaking, the more pious you are, the less you're concerned about this dunya. You're not the multimillionaires and billionaires. Generally, the rule of thumb is that the more interested you are in the hereafter, the less interested you are in this world. And the more interested you are in this world, the less interested you are in the hereafter. That's the rule of thumb. So how come Allah says in the Quran, if you believe in me, I'll give you all the blessings you want? You see, when you believe in Allah, all of a sudden your definition of blessings change. When you believe in Allah, your definition of blessings becomes different. Money in and of itself doesn't become the biggest blessing for you. Houses, cars, clothes, luxury items, these do not become the goals of life. No, that's the whole point. It changes your whole perspective of life, of this world, of the hereafter. When you put your trust in Allah and you establish a relationship with Allah, what happens is that your own priorities change around. No longer are you worried and concerned about this world. No. All of a sudden your concerns become, am I a good Muslim or not? Will I have a good place in Jannah or not? Am I raising good children or not? Are the children I'm going to raise, are they going to pray for me when I die, when I'm in the grave? Are they going to remember me and make dua to Allah for me when I'm gone from here? Am I spreading good in the community? All of a sudden your definition of what is good changes. No longer are you going to be concerned with the petty things of this world. Things that will not benefit you for more than a few years, maximum. Things that will not remain with you. You change, your priorities change. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with real iman, all of a sudden, you don't want what you wanted before. You want better things, higher things. Your goals become eternal rather than temporary. Look at the people around you who are interested in this world, and ask them, how long do you think you'll enjoy these blessings? For how many years? What will happen to these very blessings that you have amassed and hoarded? Suppose you're able to gain these millions that you want. Suppose you become the richest person amongst your peers and friends. Suppose you drive the fanciest cars and live in one of the biggest houses. What will happen? As soon as you die, and the very children that you have sired put you into that little place in earth and shovel sand upon you. When the very children that you have sired and played with and spent your fortunes on, when they return to the very house that used to be yours, they will begin to fight and bicker. They will begin to argue and debate over who gets what of your money. Sure, they'll shed a tear or two. Sure, they'll pretend to be sad, and maybe there will be an element of sadness. But for them, life will move on. And you know what they're going to be interested in? Your money. That you spent a lifetime amassing and hoarding. And now that you're in your grave, the very clothes you died in won't be with you. The very dinner that you ate the day before won't be of any benefit to you. No matter how much you spent on your house and mansion, you will be shrouded in a simple white cloth that doesn't cost more than a few dollars. And even that will be eaten by the worms in a few months or weeks. Where is all of your blessings? Where is your hoarded wealth? Who is there that is benefiting from it? People in this life who usually and typically don't even remember you in your du'as anymore. Why? Because you didn't care to raise them properly. You didn't raise them as good Muslims. Sure, you wanted them to have the best house and the most luxurious mansions and the best education, but you didn't make them Muslims. The day you die, they're going to go back to their partying and drinking. They're going to go back to their neglecting of Allah. And do you think they're going to remember you when you really and truly need them? But you see, that's the whole point. The mu'min, the believer, all of a sudden his priorities change. He's not worried about the mansion anymore. He's not worried about his bank account. He's not worried about how much money he has or doesn't have. No, that's not the point anymore. He realizes the futility, the uselessness of being involved in what the majority of mankind is involved in. Hence, yes, what Allah says is true. The one who believes in Allah and is righteous, Allah will bless him with every blessing that he wants. He wants to be a good Muslim, Allah will make him a good Muslim. He wants to really and truly have a relationship with Allah, Allah will bless him with that relationship. He wants to be able to pray and fast and give charity, Allah will bless him with that. He wants his family to be good and pious and righteous. He wants his offspring to remember him when he's dead. Allah will bless him with all of that. Priorities change. And when the priorities change, Allah blesses you with what you really and truly need and not what you think you wanted and needed. And that's the whole beauty of Islam. Realize, brothers and sisters, realize Allah created us for a noble purpose, a beautiful purpose. He created us to worship Him alone. Allah says in the Quran, I have only created all of you so that you worship me. I don't need any money. I don't need any sustenance. I don't need any food. You're not going to feed me. Rather, I am the one who gives you what you want. I am the one who gives you your life, who gives you your sustenance. All that I require, and I don't even need it, I just want you to do this for your good, is to worship me. If you worship me, I will not benefit. You will benefit. And if you neglect me, I will not be harmed. You will be harmed. The beautiful point of Islam, the beautiful message of Islam, is that Islam gives us a purpose in life. It gives us a reason to live. And that reason is the most noble of all reasons. It is to worship Allah and Allah alone. And when we do that, Allah gives us real and ultimate life. He makes us feel worthwhile, useful when we live. He makes us feel productive and happy. Real happiness comes from the heart and not from the possessions in our hands. Real happiness is internal. It comes from Allah. It cannot be created. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be built. It cannot be constructed. It is nothing but a pure blessing from Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flings into the hearts of those who believe in Him. That ultimate happiness only comes from Allah. Therefore, why do we try to find it in other than Allah? When Allah is the one who blesses us with that happiness, let us turn to Allah and only Allah. And when we do so, then and only then will we get this happiness and this life that every single human being seeks. Allah says in the Quran, five words, He summarizes all that I have said. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Verily, verily, by the remembrance of Allah, and only through the remembrance of Allah, do the hearts find their tranquility. There is no other way to find that tranquility except through the remembrance of Allah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we have just finished the most holiest of all months of the year, the month of Ramadan. And this month has made us realize a fundamental fact that we have always known, but for some reason we seem to forget. It has made us aware of a reality that we have all experienced. We're all painfully aware of this reality. But time and time again, shaitan comes and manages to make us forget about this fundamental reality. And that is, ultimate happiness only comes through the worship of Allah. And disobeying Allah only leads to sadness and grief and pain and suffering and guilt. Ultimate happiness only comes through the worship of Allah. What happened in this last month of Ramadan? What happened? We all fasted throughout its days, and we prayed throughout its nights, and we recited the Quran day and night. Let me ask you, how did you feel? How did you feel in that month, standing in Qiyam, praying in Taraweeh, breaking your fast together? Don't you feel nostalgic when you think of what happened 1 week ago? Don't you feel, those were the good days, I felt good back then. It's only been 10 days. But don't you feel that lack of iman already? Don't you feel we've already gone down? We miss the spirit of iman in Ramadan? Don't you feel that? Doesn't that make you realize that the only way to achieve that happiness is through the worship of Allah? You fast throughout the day, and that makes you feel proud to be alive. You stand in qiyam, and that makes you feel peaceful when you go to sleep. You read the Quran, and it gives a purpose to the very life that you live. That feeling that Ramadan gave you, that the worship of Allah gave you, can you purchase it through all the money in this world? Can you go to a shop and buy it? Can you go to the storekeeper and say, take all of my money, but make me feel useful in this world. Make me feel proud to be alive. Make me feel good for what I'm doing. Can anybody put that feeling in your heart other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if the answer to that is no, and it is definitely a no, because we have experienced it. Once again, why then? Why do we neglect Allah, turn away from Allah, ignore Allah, when we know that by doing so, nothing but pain and suffering, nothing but guilt and remorse will come to us? This is a reality that we experience. Think of the last sin that I did and you did. Think of it. Think of the last sin that we all did. Don't tell anybody. It's between you and Allah. But think of it. And then think, how did you feel after you did that sin? How did I feel after I did that sin? Did that make you feel good? Make you feel proud? You felt happy at what you had done? Or did you feel disgusting? Did you feel guilty? Did you feel dirty and unholy? This feeling, where did it come from? Nobody saw you do the act. It was done between you and Allah. Nobody witnessed it. You weren't caught. If you were caught, that would be a different thing. You wouldn't be here. You think you got away, but you know you didn't get away. Allah saw you, and you know Allah saw you. That's why you feel the way you do. Why then? Why? When next time the opportunity comes to do that same sin, why am I going to do that sin again, and why are you going to do that sin again? Why? We know the reality of the consequences of that sin. We know in this world before the hereafter. Good brings about good, and sin brings about evil. This is a reality that does not need to be proven through the Quran and Sunnah. It is proven in our daily lives. We live it, we experience it, we breathe it, we smell it, we lick it. This is the reality that our life teaches us. The only way to feel proud and happy, to feel content and fulfilled, is through the worship of Allah. When we do this, everything else becomes trivial. And the only way to feel ultimate despair is to neglect Allah. Because when we neglect Allah, then we create a hole inside of ourselves. An emptiness that cannot be satisfied even if the entire world were to be shoved into it. It wouldn't be satisfied. That's why the rich are never satisfied with what they have. The famous are never satisfied with the fame they have. They always want more and more and more. That emptiness is only filled through the remembrance of Allah. Brothers and sisters, I remind myself and all of you of the fundamentals of this religion, and they are very simple. Perform them, fulfill them, and Allah Azza wa Jal will bless you with real and ultimate life. Establish the salah. Pray the prayers on time. Pray the prayers when Allah wanted you to pray them. Only 5 minutes of your day. 5 minutes, take it aside. Go to a corner of your shop, find a place of your work, and give those 4 rak'at, 2 rak'at, 3 rak'at to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Wake up for Fajr, pray that Fajr prayer, and it will change your whole life around. It will change your whole life around. Avoid the major sins. Pay that zakat, 2.5%. When it comes time for taxes, how much do we have to pay? 20, 30, 40%? Allah wants 2.5%, and not even of your income, of your savings. Not even of your income. Zakat is not calculated by income. It's calculated by how much you have saved, how much you don't need. Look at the mercy of Allah. Fast 1 month of Ramadan. Go for Hajj once in your lifetimes if you can afford it. Avoid the major sins. Worship Allah alone, and you've done what you're supposed to do. That's all. Do this, and you will revolutionize your own lives. You will infuse spirit through the mercy of Allah, through the blessings of Allah. You will rediscover, rekindle the purpose and ultimate meaning of life. Islam is so easy, brothers and sisters. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah has not made this religion difficult. Allah says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah wants to make things easy for you. He doesn't want to make things difficult. That's why Allah has made our religion so simple. Yet, despite its simplicity, how few amongst us are even doing the bare minimum. Brothers and sisters in Islam, when we turn to Allah, Allah will give us all that we need in this world and the hereafter. And when we neglect Allah, not only will we lose out in the hereafter, we'll also lose out in this world as well. Ultimate success with Allah. Ultimate failure, neglecting and ignoring Allah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Or you believe have the taqwa of Allah. وَتَنْظُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ And let every soul be conscious of what it has prepared for tomorrow. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And be conscious of Allah. Verily Allah is well aware of what you do. And don't be like those who forgot about Allah. Don't be like those who neglected Allah. Because if you do so, then Allah will cause you to forget about yourself. Allahumma inni da'in. اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم انصر عبادك المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فأشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وابتنى بملائكة مسبحة بقدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Straighten your rows, leave no gaps in the line. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون
فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله